a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, every driveway shoveled, every road plowed. Come in from the wilderness, come in from the wild, come in from the cold, and be comforted. Let's worship.
Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all human faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me around the Advent wreath. So, the first candle, last Sunday's candle, is here. It's burning. And some of you were here last Sunday, and you remember that what we did was we took a candle, we lit it, and we sat and we helped everybody be quiet for a few minutes to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And to remember that God is here. So that's what we're going to do again. And we're going to do that with the second candle. Are you ready? All right.
Please join me in the prayer of confession and assurance. Pray with me. God of the blazing heavens, you come to us gently and tenderly, speaking peace and comfort into our fear. We long for you. We yearn for your promise of a new heaven and earth. Yet we confess that though we know how to get busy and prepare for this season, we do not know how to slow down or wait and make space for your presence. May our ordinary lives intersect with the power of your word and the transforming presence of your grace. Empower us to let it be so. Amen.
Green Book number 105, God's Assurance. We'll sing it twice.
Watch, wait, prepare. These are key words of Advent. Watch, wait, prepare. This is not a posture of feverish activity. This is not work harder, do more. This is a posture of attentiveness, quiet, careful, constant attentiveness. It's kind of like walking into a dim room and letting your eyes adjust. As you stay focused, as you learn to see, things come into view that were at first hidden. Watch. Wait. Prepare. This is a time to enlarge the imagination. Inspiring poetry of Isaiah, fiery preaching of John helps do that. It can jolt the listener out of a state of lethargy, help you see your experiences in new light, and begin to imagine new possibilities. Watch. Wait. Listen. Prepare. And why? Because something is getting ready to happen. A change is coming. A new reality is breaking in. And if you're not looking, If you haven't trained your eyes to see, if you haven't enlarged your imagination, you could totally miss it. The new thing could come, and you're not ready. You don't even notice. Both Isaiah and Mark say that the new thing that is coming is good news. Isaiah calls it good tidings. Get up on a high mountain, shout with a loud voice, bring good tidings. Mark calls it gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Greek word for gospel is evangelion. This isn't just any kind of good news, it's important news. News that makes a difference for everyone. News that changes everything. Like the runner bursting into town with the news that the decisive far-off battle has been won. The enemy armies have been defeated. Good news. Life-changing, world-changing news. Watch. Wait. Listen. Prepare. Something big is about to happen. You don't want to miss it. You want to be ready so when it comes, you can get in on it. John tells us he's getting us ready for Jesus. And just a few verses later, Jesus summarizes his whole message in one sentence. Change your whole way of thinking because God's new order is breaking in right now. Now that's often translated, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I think we've gotten used to that language. It sounds pretty churchy. And what Jesus is saying is really much more dramatic, more vibrant, more urgent than that. Change your whole way of thinking. Change your whole way of seeing because God's new order is breaking in right here, right now. And if you're paying attention, you can get in on it. Advent is a time to train ourselves, to get ready. Watch, wait, listen, prepare. The image and theme of wilderness is at the heart of both scriptures we heard this morning. The backdrop for Isaiah is that the Babylonians have taken the Jewish leaders into captivity and destroyed Jerusalem. This happened around 587 before Christ. And now, 50 or 60 years later, the prophet is saying something new is going to happen. God is getting ready to do something new, something big, something important. Pay attention. Watch. Wait. Prepare. But you're going to have to travel through some wilderness to get there. The story of Mark, more than 500 years later, happens when the Jews are living under Roman military occupation. Mark says, hey, listen up. Good news. God is getting ready to do something new, something big, something important. Watch. Wait. Prepare. And again, the action seems to be out in the wilderness. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, and all the people went out to him. In both scriptures, we read that if you want to be open to the new, you will likely need to travel through the wilderness. The new thing that God is getting ready to do won't be exactly what you expect. It's God's new order, after all, not yours. You've been shaped by exile, by occupation, by empire. These foreign powers don't just control your body, they get into your mind. You've forgotten your story, you've forgotten who you are. The new thing wanting to break in might not come naturally to you. So you need to watch, wait, listen, prepare, rethink, relearn so that you are ready when it comes and don't miss what God wants to do. It might be an inner wilderness. It might be an outer wilderness. Wilderness is a place that can be barren, stark, harsh. Your attention is focused. There are few distractions. You're removed from the familiar. You have an experience of dislocation. There's a break in the normal rhythm and pattern of things. It's a time of disruption. Nothing makes sense anymore. It's a time of total disorientation. In the wilderness, old habits, familiar patterns get stripped away. No distractions, a time of dislocation, disruption, disorientation, so that something new can break in. Sometimes Wilderness comes unbidden. There's the wilderness of illness, of aging, of parents dying, of difficult conflict, a partner who has an affair, a friend dies in an accident, you lose your job. Sometimes wilderness comes unbidden. And sometimes we must choose to enter wilderness, to look where we haven't looked, to face what we haven't faced, to have the courage to see our world from someone else's perspective, to pay attention and recognize that others have long been living in wilderness, to discover that we have long been in wilderness. It is time to pay attention. No more business as usual. Sometimes we must choose to enter wilderness. Me too, cry out the hundreds and thousands of women who have been harassed and assaulted. We have long been in wilderness. Rufus Cedric Baker, Amadou Diallo, Manuel Loggins Jr., Freddie Gray, Walter Scott, Ronald Madison, Kendra James, Sean Bell, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Alton Sterling, Tamir Rice. We have long been in wilderness. On average, there are 121 suicides in the United States every day. We have long been in wilderness. 13% of all bird species worldwide face extinction. We have long been in wilderness. Here's the deal. The system is kaput. It chews up and spits out lots of people. Some of us may not know it. We haven't been paying attention. But for others, this comes as no surprise. And in the midst of that, we hear Jesus say, "Change your whole way of thinking and seeing. Something new is going to happen. Will we be ready for it?" To get there, we have to spend time in the wilderness, paying attention, staring ourselves and our world in the eye. Spend some serious time unlearning and relearning, turning away from and turning towards. Like the people who came to hear John preach, we'll probably need to spend some time in the wilderness. Odds are we won't find the new vision behind stained glass windows and in padded pews, but in the wilderness. Not in comfortable luxury hotel suites, but in the wilderness. Not boardrooms or ivory towers, the wilderness. Not in front of keyboards entering credit card numbers, but in the wilderness. Not in shopping malls or trendy cafes, but in the wilderness. Not in Rome or Jerusalem, not on the Magnificent Mile or on Wall Street or on Capitol Hill, but in the wilderness. Leave Babylon. Leave Jerusalem. Head out to the wilderness. And don't be too quick to know what the next thing is. Go to the wilderness, choose the wilderness, watch, wait, listen, prepare. Slowly, let your eyes grow accustomed to what's happening. Let the words of poetry help you imagine new possibilities. Get yourselves ready so you don't miss the new thing God wants to do. And when we finally stop, watch, wait, listen, when we remove the distractions and open ourselves to the dislocation, the disorientation, the disruption of the wilderness, then we just might hear the word of good news that says, "The Lord comes with power. He will gather the lambs in his arms. The one who comes will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Turn in the blue hymnals to 176. 176, Comfort, Comfort, O My People. Stand, please.